ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 श्रीमद् भागवतम की गोपीनाथ की जाए प्रभुपाद की जाए। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 36 How do you do this? You say after the speaker or okay, so I'll do it myself. Pasit Kshina Dhanaha Shaya Shana Dyupa भोग विहीनो यावत् प्रतिलब्ध मनोरथोपगता दाने वसित मतिस्ततस्ततः अवमान आदिनि जनाद् अभिलभते। ओके, नाउ टू रिपीट आफ्टर मी। क्वचित् Sometimes, kshina dhanaha, not having sufficient money, shayasana asana adi, accommodations for sleeping, sitting or eating. Upabhoga of material enjoyment, vihinaha being bereft, yavat as long as, apratilabdha not achieved, manoratha by his desire, upagata obtained, adane in seizing by unfair means, avasita matihi whose mind is determined, tataha because of that, tataha from that, avamana adini insults and punishment, janat from the people in general, abhilabhate he gets. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. Sometimes having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, he is unable to secure the necessities by fair means. He decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes very morose. Purport. It is said that necessity knows no law. Means you are ready to break the laws also. There is a necessity. Necessity is mother of invention, is also saying. Necessity is mother of invention. You invent things when something is necessary. When you are ready to do anything and everything. You do not even care for the laws. You break the laws. When the conditioned soul needs money to acquire life's bare necessities, he adopts any means. Yeah, you have experiences of this? He begs, borrows, or steals. Instead of receiving these things, he is insulted and chastised. Unless one is very well organized, one cannot accumulate riches by unfair means. Even if one acquires riches by unfair means, he cannot avoid punishment, an insult from the government or general populace. There are many instances of important people's embezzling money, getting caught and being put in prison. One may be able to avoid the punishment of prison, but one cannot avoid the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who works through the agency of material nature. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya. Duratyaya. Nature is very cruel. She does not excuse anyone. When people do not care for nature, they commit all kinds of sinful activities and consequently they have to suffer. Haribol. Kvachit kshina dhanaha shayya asana asana upabhoga vihino yavat pratilabdha manorathopagata adane avasita matis tatas tataha ava manadini janat abhilabhate. Translation again. Sometimes, having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity, and at that time, when he's unable to secure the necessities by fair means, he desires to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes very morose. So thus, is the explanation of the forest of enjoyment. That's the chapter title, Forest of Enjoyment. As you had been going through, these are daily occurrences, daily experiences. Not of others, but our own experiences also. Yeah, do you remember these things happening to you? Or maybe they're still happening? The naked face of the material existence, as the conditioned soul encounters material world. This is what he's put through. Not very pleasing experience. Or even if it is pleasing, sometimes it doesn't last very long. The pleasure follows displeasure. Enjoyment follows the suffering. That's the story of this material world. Sometimes not having money, money is not just the money, but the wealth, property is also money or your wealth. Car is also your wealth, and your land is also your wealth if you have it. So money, the dhan mentioned here, kwachit kshina dhanaha. Sometimes dhan, the wealth, becomes exhausted. You have been using and using and spending and spending and spending, and not making more and only spending. Situations, you are put through such situations, each one of us had, in this lifetime, or maybe one whole lifetime, maybe good times and then followed by very bad times. Oh, I'm fine this life. But Muniputraha Chiranjivaha. Prabhupada once quoted this. The Rajaputraha Chiranjivaha. Oh, prince, you may live on and on and on. Because the credits of your piety of the past now you are enjoying. But as soon as this life comes to an end, there's going to be another story. So you better live on and on and on. So this is one benediction to this one party, the prince, that you live on. Anyway, there are other three parties also. Muniputraha, the son of the sage, his advice, you should die immediately. You're undergoing austerities and there's a lot of inconvenience. But as soon as you are through this life, you have a bright future, so give up. And then you'll embrace the good times, the bright futures. Then the Vaishnava, there's a benediction for him. Jivova Marova. You may either leave on or you may give up your body. You are okay now and you will be all right in future also. This is Vaishnava. And to the butcher, he was advised, Ma jivo ma maro. You should neither leave. Whether you leave or whether you die, you have bad times now and you will also have really bad times in future. So your present and future is not good. So in either situation you are. So different benedictions for different parties. Well, the examples of these are very many examples of what people go through, having no money or no accommodations and no necessities. There's only scarcity, and they go for unfair means to acquire wealth, and they receive insults, and they become very morose. There was one person, a little story, a little history, the real, not imaginary, the real historical person. From the Puranas. So sometimes, long, long time ago, there lived one Brahmin. Well, he had everything, but no child. So there was scarcity of child in his life. So one time he was out in the forest and he comes across a sage. He falls at his feet and says, I pray, please, please give me benediction so that I could have a son. I have Radha Gopinath ki. He was trying to preach to him, but he was not ready to listen. you're okay, you know. You will have attachment, and who knows what kind of son you will get. And but this Prabhu, he insisted, no, 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 please, please. I'm already suffering. And for sure, having a son, I will enjoy. So this sage said, okay, take this fruit and give this to your wife. Let her take this fruit. As a result, you will have a child. So when this gentleman returned home and gave this fruit, proposed, please take this fruit, please. This is very special fruit. We'll have a son, we'll have a child. This wife was a little not very cooperative. And it is strange. She said, no, 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 no. If I take this fruit and if there's a baby in the womb, what if he decides not to come out of the womb? She probably had heard about Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami was staying on and on. Oh, what that happens to me? Anyway, the husband was insisting, no, no, no. So she approached her friend and said, You take this fruit, and you already have a child, you know, and I will give that child to me, and at some point, and I will claim that this is my child. I took the fruit, and this is the result of the fruit. So she had a child. In fact, no. She did not. She fed this fruit to a cow. And the cow gave birth to a child. The child had ears like that of a cow. So he was named Gokarna. Go means cow, Karna means ears. The child who has ears like a cow. But he was very sweet and intelligent, very gentle boy. So there are two boys now. One cow gave birth to this Gokarna, and the other one was borrowed from another woman, another lady, but he was a very bad boy, a bad character, a miscreant. And he started making the family's life, the father's life, very miserable. Kam vittam, he was asking, like dhanam. Dhan is also called vitta. Vitta means property or wealth. So he would always ask for, where is the wealth? Where is the wealth? I want money. Bruhi hanishe lattaya na chet. And if you don't give me money, I will beat you. The stick that is burning stick, I'll beat you. So he would always harass his father. Give me money, give me money, give me more money. So feeling harassed, father left for the forest. He lost his accommodation.
because of the Son. Now he started harassing mother. Mother, I want money, I want money. Where has father hidden the money? What are his bank accounts? Where is the money? Please get me money. I want money. And if you don't get me money, I will beat you. Just see. By any unfair means, this person was ready to make money, have money. So every day, the son was harassing. So mother also decided to give up her life. She ran out of the town and she jumped into the well. That was the end of the mother. Then this brother, Gokarna, he also went on pilgrimage. So this person, he had gathered some half dozen prostitutes. He was accommodating them or enjoying their company. And of course, money was required. Just to maintain one, there is so much money required, so much run around, just to maintain one wife. But he had half dozen prostitutes. There are big demands. So he would travel to this country and bring steal some wealth. And these prostitutes would immediately say, hey, go get more money. And then he would go to another country. He would go to Spain. And then he would go to this country and come back with the wealth, and they would spend the money. Some money was, well, being also hidden away or being stored for future. So these prostitutes were thinking that he's always acquiring money by all illicit means, breaking all the rules. The necessity knows no law. He's not following any law. For sure, government authorities would catch up with him one of these days and steal all the wealth or take away all the wealth that we have accumulated, which is supposed to be his property, his wealth. And if that happens, if the government authorities come and they investigate and they take away all the wealth, then we'll be left with no money. So they had this idea that before the government authorities come, let's get rid of this Dhundakari. His name was Dhundakari. The other son was Gokarna. He was Dhundakari. Let's get rid of Dhundakari. So they had a whole strategy. One night time. They took some ropes and tied ropes around his neck, and they started killing him, taking his life. Some also got some burning coal. Open your mouth. Ah! And they started putting the coal into his mouth and pushing that down his throat while some others were pulling the ropes this way, and big tug of war was going. And finally, he lost his life. But he did not get another body. He was a ghost. He lost accommodation, the house that he had. The body is also accommodation. He did not get that kind of accommodation also. He did not get into another body. He was just floating and flying and lots of inconvenience for him. Anyway, so that's one historical account of what people could do to make money and how others plunder that money and how you could lose your life, insults and punishments, inconvenience, and you lose your accommodations. The father lost his home. Mother lost her life. The brother had to go on pilgrimage because of this fellow brother and the prostitutes and of course, luckily, his brother Gokarna helped his brother who was without body, just hanging, floating in the air, and a lot of suffering. So he recited Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. For his brother, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And this brother, bodiless brother, the ghost brother, he had taken shelter of the bamboo rod, which had 7 knots. Unless he would be, taking shelter of or some rod or something of that sort, it was not possible for him to even stay around, listen to that katha, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was staying inside that bamboo rod. At the end of each day's recitation of Bhagavatam, one of those 7 parts would explode, giving indication that he was becoming liberated by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then end of second day, other part. And 7 days, all the 7 parts, they blew away. And this brother, Dhundakari, had now a spiritual body with the 4 hands and the crown and the earrings and... there was one aircraft was waiting for him, and the air host giving signal, please come over, please come over. And he took the seat and he was about to take off. But then this Gokarna said, hey, hold on, what happened, what happened? Because it was not only Dhundakari who was listening to the Bhagavatam recitation, but there are so many others also were listening to Srimad Bhagavat recitation. So Gokarna was wondering, what happened? Why only one person is going back to home? What did others do? I'm the same speaker, the same message for everybody. And one becomes eligible. Anyway. So these Haridasas, they're called Haridasas or Vishnu Dutas. They said the difficulty or the trouble was only one person was hearing with all full attention, full faith. And also after recitation got over, this person still kept contemplating on the message of Bhagavatam. And like that, he gave, this is the reason that he has become eligible to go back to home, while others, they did not fulfill this condition. They were not very much there. They were eager to walk out of the Srimad Bhagavatam class, or their minds were not there, or they were, or as soon as they walked out, they were immediately on the phone and they forgot the bye message of Bhagavatam. And they walked out with their backs towards that Bhagavatam. But this other person kept facing Bhagavatam and thinking and contemplating on Bhagavatam. And then this Vishnu Duta said, Haridasa said, you know, you could do recite Bhagavatam again and if everyone in the audience listens to Bhagavatam the way this Dhundakari had done this time, there is no shortage of aircrafts. We could come with big jumbo jet. In fact, that is what happened. Gokarna, or another Bhagavat Katha, and all those, one more time they were put through this Bhagavat recitation, and now they are following all the guideline, all the conditions, attention and the faith, and after Bhagavat also contemplation and manan and reflections on those, the topic, subject matter. And then, end of that recitation, many aircrafts landed. They all boarded the planes when they all took off. And they went all back to home, back to Godhead. Person could be only happy at home and if he has no debts. Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked this question by Yaksha. This morning also we read after Mangal Arati the question, what is the most wonderful thing? Kim Ashcharyam. So, in fact, there were many, many, many questions were asked by this Yaksha. And this happened in Kamban, in Vrindavan, Kamban forest. So, amongst those questions, one question also was, Kamodate, who is happy? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gave answer. He said, two people are happy. Those who are at home, those who have accommodation of their own, and they are at home, they are not traveling or they are not in foreign lands, they are at home and they have no debts. Free from debt, and they are at home, that person could be happy, Yudhishthira Maharaj had replied. So having home, having accommodation, not traveling, you are back home. I was also, when I returned, on my door in the guest house, there was a sign, "Welcome back home, Maharaj." So you're on the road, you're a lot of inconvenience. It's not a fun to travel around. So when one is at home, he's happy and he has no debts. And you're relaxed, you have no debts. You have debts. We still have a lot of... We're talking about that yesterday. And for Krishna, there's some debts here to be paid, money to be paid for these properties. You probably don't even know, but the payments are still to be made. So finally we'll be happy when we are cleared of all the debts. But this world, I was thinking how Yudhishthira Maharaj said, one who is free from debt is happy. In this day and age, you are always encouraged to take loan. Take this loan, take that loan, take that loan. This used to happen in the West and now in India also. This loan business is becoming very popular. You could take car loan, you could take home loan, and you could take court loan. If you don't have court, you could also take a loan to buy, borrow, steal some court. Court loan, overseas education loan, and this marriage loan. Of course, Balaji, Tirupati Balaji also had taken loan for his marriage. And he's still making his payments. Interest he's paying, not even the principal amount is not even the payment for principal amount has not been started. That's why people come, go to Tirupati and they help the Lord. Okay, I help you out, my Lord. Here is some 500 rupees, 5,000 rupees, or sometimes they 1 crore rupees. Of course, they expect many crores in return as they try to help out the Lord. So we could, I mean, even if we have house, you're supposed to be happy, or if you have a house, you have accommodation, but then others could make your life miserable, like this Dhundukari did, and you could be left on the streets. There's so many homeless people all over the world, even in America. I'm sure in Europe, in this country, so many homeless people means not very happy. Or sometimes they may even leave home. Prabhupada noticed a lot of homeless people on the beach in Los Angeles. I was listening to that morning walk. He said, this is a fashion, he said. People are trying to experience. Oh, I was too much rich, too much wealth, too much all accommodations. Let me experience another. Too much wealth has given me suffering. Now I will have no wealth. I'll just wander, no accommodations. I'll become hippie. I'll just wander everywhere. But they were also not happy. So rich things, well, poor things, if I become rich, I will be happy. And some rich people also started thinking, oh, if I become poor, probably I will become happy. But neither rich nor poor are happy here, because Yudhishthira Maharaj did say, oh, if you have a home of your own, you could be happy. But which one is a home for the living entity? What is a home? Where is the home? I lost my heart where? Devotees walk around with a t-shirt. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Your home is where your heart is. Your home is there where your heart is. So there's soul's heart, or soul belongs to Vrindavan. Soul belongs to the Lord, Lord's abode. He is our father, he is our mother. So that is our fatherland, that is our motherland. So as soon as we leave that land behind and come to this material existence, immediately there is inconvenience and suffering. And no matter what you do, you become rich or poor or this or that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did say, if you are at home, if you have a home of your own, you could be happy. But what is that home? For living entity, the home is, Lord's abode is the home. Otherwise, not possible to be happy. This Mother Earth is also, our home is on the lap of Mother Earth. So Mother Earth is also, our accommodation is in the lap of Mother Earth. But that is also becoming more difficult, or we are making it difficult with the climatic changes and a lot of the wars and the terrorism and this and that. Even the life on this earthly planet is becoming more and more unbearable and more difficult. Some time ago, I think last year, there was one physicist, one big scientist, is from England. Anyone knows his name? He's a leading one. He's also handicapped. Okay, that's the one. Huh? Okay. One interview said, what should people on this planet do? There's so much harassment, so much inconvenience. The climatic changes and this and that and the wars and terrorism and this and that. So this scientist said, look for another planet. Like when difficulty in the boat. The boats are always attached with the lifeboats, rescuing boats. So his recommendation is It's a difficult, this earthly planet, living on this earth is becoming difficult. All the human beings should look for another lifeboat, another planet. What a practical alternative. You couldn't think of spiritual planet or going back to home, but it's not here, another planet. The enjoyment, spirit of enjoyment is so much on this planet that the resources available on this planet are not sufficient for people on this planet. The demands are manifold. Each one, so many things people accumulate. Unnecessary also. I was in Chicago, and one of our devotees' parents' place, and they had a big house, and they used to travel around and do shopping, and go to Hong Kong and buy this and buy that and display that at home. And then the next year they would go to Hawaii and do shopping and fill up their house with like a big exhibition. So they were very elderly, in their 70s or late 70s. And this, in fact, this was Giriraj Maharaj's parents. Say, now my parents are planning another tour. But before they go on a tour, they will buy another accommodation, another property. Said, when they come back with more items, which they do the shopping here, there, they don't have enough space in this house to store or display, so they will get another accommodation so that they could store or display the more items which they would be buying once they go out this time. So there's a scarcity, but then some people like this also have abundance, and they don't know what to do, and they uselessly invest their money in this or that. There's a survey was conducted a few years ago, and the conclusion was that the resources on this planet are not enough for the people on this planet. That two or three Earth's resources would be sufficient to meet all the demands of people. And that survey also said, by going by American standard, you need 5 Earths. By now, but then in future there will be 10 Earths. So they try to reduce the number of people. They think, oh, each one will get less if we have more people. So they go for family planning in India. And in China also, one child, one per family. In India used to be 2, some 30, 40 years ago. We 2 and we have 2. Wife and husband, 2 of us, and we have 2 children. And now they're cutting down that too from 2 to 1. And they think that if we minimize the population on this planet, then each one will get more, more accommodations, more to eat or more to wear, more. Do you think that would work? By minimizing the number of people, minimize the population, and each one gets more resources. The conditioned soul is so greedy. You know how much each living entity would want to have? The whole thing. Because they're competing with the Lord, in fact. They want to be the Lord. Ishvaro aham, aham bhogi. I am controller, enjoyer. So even if the population was cut down and minimized and minimized, and if there are finally 2 people on this planet, what are they going to be thinking? 2 is too much. There should be only, that's me. So this is the conditioning of the conditioned soul. So as a result, even if whatever they have, they are not satisfied with that much. And they want more and more. And to get more, they'll compete with others or kill others or do whatever it takes. Steal others' property. Either pickpocketing or making intelligent plans. People become, undergo education so that then you could steal property legally. You could steal, how to transfer the money from others' banks to my bank. That's allowed. If you go on pickpocketing or stealing, then you would be arrested or you're imprisoned. But you could learn how you could get others' property in your name, transfer, make some intelligent plans, become educated, become expert in stealing others' property, transferring it in your name. So this is what is going on, and so this is also called the rat race. Why is it called rat race? The rat makes one hole that is sufficient. He could stay in that accommodation, but then he makes another hole and goes between one hole to another hole, and soon makes another hole and goes into that hole, goes from one hole to another hole to another hole. He's always running, going from one hole, one home to another home. If you try to stop the rat will never stop. It will just take a diversion and run to the next hole. So people also are running from one accommodation to another accommodation to another hotel, so now, and they're just not happy with what they have. And then what happens? Then comes the snake comes. And he enters into that one of those holes. And here comes the rat. Welcome back home. Snake is welcoming. And snake has a free accommodation. and free breakfast also. You know? So when he gobbles up that rat, and is happy. Snake is happy. So death comes. And grabs you by your neck, and everything stands still, full stop. So that's the forest of enjoyment and, in fact, suffering. But there was a person, he had a small house, and then he had a guest. "May I come in?" This person who owned the house was lying down, and his house was full. He covered his whole house as he lied down. This other person, "No, come on in. So the person who was the owner of the house, instead of lying down, he sat down so that the other person could come in and sit down. So two persons were sitting, and the house was full. So soon another person, "May I come in?" "Yes, come on in. So how to accommodate him? So these two earlier people, they stood up to make the room for the third person to come in. So this is the Vedic way also of sharing properties or accommodations or considerations are also there. Ishavasham idam sarvam yatkincham jagatyam jagatina tyaktina bhunjita ma gradha kasya svidhanam dhanam. So each one is given, or they should take only that much. Tena tyaktina bhunjita. There's a quota for you. You have necessities. So just keep as much as necessary. Need is okay, but not the greed. So, need, I need this much. That's fine. But when comes the greed, and so this is, the world is greedy, and greed is one of the enemies of the human being and the human society, human race. So lack of Vedic culture, lack of Krishna consciousness, as a result, there's also a lot of people are harassed or insulted or deprived of their accommodations or but, of course. And then there was a Lomas Rishi talking of accommodation. Now, he had a benediction that in one day of Brahma, something like that, he would lose one hair from his body. That means he had long life. So once he was approached, "Why don't you build a kutir, have some accommodation for yourself?" This Lomas Rishi said, "Life is so temporary." Although his life was supposed to be very long. You'd lose one hair in one day of Brahma. When no more hair on his body, that's when he was going to be leaving the body. He said, "Life is so temporary. What do I need accommodations for? Why should I invest my time and energy in building accommodation and take care and maintenance? I'm okay. So that's also another stand, another attitude towards this accommodation business. Because the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were just under the trees. Okay, any questions or comments? The topic could go on. It's a big topic. He'll be dead and gone in a few days or a few years. And these are the gurus these days of the human race. Whatever they say, any other comment, question? Home away from home, they also say. You cannot be really at home anywhere in this world. You could go to nearby temple, that's some home, or you could go to some devotee's home and the home. Home. What is home? I think so. Only back to home, back to Godhead is the only home for the living entity. Everything else is just some temporary transit, makeshift arrangement. Chant Hare Krishna or read Bhagavatam wherever you are and whatever. And feel at home. Your soul is satisfied with. This is an illusory thing. I mean, this is a relative thing, even if Yudhishthira Maharaj is talking about if you are at home and no debts. Even home in this material world is maybe relatively some convenience, some happiness, but you could be out of home at your home. You could be Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll stop here. Arrivederci.